evening, everyone. I ask we all rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Clerk, will call the roll, please.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Quiatek.
Present.
Ms. Leon.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Cologne.
Present. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Moving on to approval of minutes for the November 8, 2023 council meeting. Any comments on the minutes? The minutes stand approved. Public comment. As is custom, we will start with public comment for anything not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. We do have our YouTube stream going. If anyone wants to watch live, you can scroll ahead to the live section of the meeting. I'll start with those who had signed up in advance, starting with Mr. Jim Fallweiler.
Good evening, Jim Fallweiler, 2222 Main Street. Pleasure to be here this evening. In preparation for potentially joining this council, I reviewed the City Rules for Council Resolution 2011-214 with amendments and determined that this City Council has been in violation of the rules since the sitting of this council in January 2022. I do not believe that the Council President has the authority to unilaterally ignore resolutions and the rules. The City Council meeting agenda had been changed without a resolution or vote to amend the agenda. The invalid change was the removal of the invocation as of January 2022. I request you immediately reinstate the invocation in accordance with current city resolution. If you wish to remove it, propose an amendment, make your positions public, and vote on a rules to council amendment. Now to the downtown topic of the year. We were told for months that the Walnut Street garage replacement plan schedule had no flexibility and is so tight that there cannot be any delays to ensure completion by Christmas 2025. But suddenly the plan was not submitted to the HARB in November. Now it's projected for who knows when. Plus, the mayor now plans to delay the submission to council till at least January. What happened to the non-negotiable rush? One word, politics. Push the HARB meeting past the election to avoid any pre-election media coverage. And with a city council conflict of interest member departing council, the next stronger pro-mayor council appears to have the votes to approve or even override the HARB. I hope the HARB sticks to their size and height standards in evaluating the garage proposal meeting, in their garage proposal meeting. In addition to the approval of the Broad Street Victorian House apartment complex, the council override on this garage that violates the historic standards may put the World Heritage designation at additional risk. I separately ask, can the BPA issue construction contracts in advance of a project approval? Something somebody should follow. My goals are to maintain historic standards, maximize parking downtown to support the historic and downtown business districts, and relocate the expected high-rise apartment building. Third, in regards to our municipal elections, I recommend creating a one-page guidance memo for all future candidates on the city's ever-changing interpretation of placing yard signs on public property. Why this recommendation? In a change and in violation of a decades-long standing practice this year that allowed signs on public property for at least 30 days prior to the election, this year we experienced a new low in the government and handling this issue and suppressing free speech. City workers using city resources of money, time, and gas kept repeatedly removing campaign signs from public property. In one location near my home, they were removed 6 or 7 times. We kept count. Traditionally, they were only taken down once in October to cut the grass and left on the property for the candidates to put them back up. This didn't affect me since I had virtually no signs on city public property, but one of your fellow members joining council had the majority of his signs on city property, and magically this reason they were continually taken down. When we called to inquire with the city, we were told the infamous bureaucratic, look at our website and look at our regulations. Standard practice, like I said, was for decades, 30 days, they were down once to cut the grass. Was this a directed effort to suppress one of your party's candidates? Because it certainly didn't affect my signs or in the end my campaign. So to make it easy for candidates in the future, again, I recommend just a one-page guidance for the city employees, for all candidates to have an equal fair shot on what the rules are posting yard signs on public property. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Folau. Our next speaker is signed up is Mary Jo McCool.
Good evening. My name is Mary Jo McCool. I live at 449 Grandview Boulevard. My concern is sort of twofold. I called the city to inquire when leaves were going to be picked up at the curb. I was told November 16th and 17th. Well, they came on the 15th, and I don't believe they came back because there's still leaves in the street. The other issue with that is when they came out, there were 5 people, 5 workers, and only 2 were working. 3 just stood around and followed the others up the street. No rakes in their hands, nothing. That's a waste of taxpayer money. And I think that should be looked into as to how these departments budget and send out their workers. And normally, sometimes there's only been 1 worker to work the vacuum truck. So it's that proverbial old joke. How many so-and-so does it take to screw in a light bulb? I don't mean to make light of any group, but with the budget talks being at issue right now, making sure that departments run efficiently and don't abuse, send extra people out when they're not warranted would really be a big help. And I'm still waiting for that storm drain to be put in at the corner of Grandview and Ritter. It's been 2 weeks and the weather's getting cold. It's gonna be below 40. You're not gonna be able to do it till spring. So that's my issue. I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. That exhausts our list of who had previously signed up, so I'll go around the room. Again, this is public comment for anything not being voted on this evening. I'll start to the left. Was there anyone who wants to make comment? Mr. Rodriguez, I believe I see your hand.
Eddie Rodriguez, 13. I'm sorry, 336 13th Avenue, Bethlehem. I came here tonight, and it's been a while since I've come here, but there's some things I want to talk about. First of all, where I live at Holy Family Apartments, there's been a small pattern that needs to be looked into of theft. My medication was stolen. I'm handling it through the insurance company, and I have no other alternative but to report it. I've done everything to ignore the theft, but it did happen. And the theft happened on the 30th of October, 2023. Package ship was 10/28/23. It's being handled, and I've properly taken care of this to the police department, but and the management over there, but still, the idea that I still haven't retrieved it, and the insurance company took care of that, is okay for me. But the idea that it was taken, and I haven't received it, and the postman and everything, I did everything. But moving on, the trees in the city, there's a lot of rotted trees. I don't need to dictate here or show where the streets are, but somebody needs to go out there and get those trees out of those streets. One is by Rockland Park. You go through there, you'll see a line on the right-hand side. A lot of trees are rotted, ready to fall down. If somebody walks through that park, and God forbid something happens, you know, that one of those trees fall down on somebody. And there's others. But I'm going to start taking, you know, streets that these trees are on, because there's just too many. And these trees have been left there for a long period of time. I'll say that much. So the Washington Avenue roadway, it had some construction on there for a long period of time from one end to the other. But if you go down there and ride through there, man, that roadway is rough. I mean rough. Ba-boom, 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 the whole street from one end to the other. That's ridiculous. And there's been a pattern of that too, you know, where you get the gas company and so on and so forth, whoever works on the roadways, and then you find out that the roads are not either paved right or road right. And I know Mike has talked about this in the past, but there has to be a better solution for a better roadway, so that damages, you know, you ride up and down, and it could cause damage to your bumpers. It can cause damage to your mufflers, basically your car. If you got loose parts, it's a hazard. So the other thing I want to talk about is slow the traffic down on West Broad and Linden Street. Traffic has increased. You got a speedway on Linden Street and a speedway on West Broad Street from one end to the other. People just don't stop. I got caught with a ticket because I didn't notice, one, that there was somebody going on the corner. I paid it off. I couldn't fight it. Police officer came. But there has to be more policing in these areas right there. And those streets that have speeding, put bumpers or whatever it takes. Mike, please do something. The roadways are rough. Traffic is increasing. I request the police monitoring, better police monitoring at dumpsters, sites, at the Stepco Boulevard parking lot, where on a previous occasion I came here. And sure, it's being handled, it's being picked up, but people are still dumping. It's out of hand. I need the police department to occasionally monitor, and the other parking lot, you can visualize everything that's happening. It's happened through the course of the nighttime, not daytime. Somebody got a ticket for $500 and justified themselves as to why they got it. Well, don't do it, you won't get it. The lady that just left there with the leaf, complained about leaves. Why is the city going around, and she's right, why is the city going around picking up leaves with the dump truck and using that big sifter? I don't know what you call it.
Mr. Rodriguez, I'm going to ask you to start to wrap up your comments, please.
I'll get to it. Like everybody else.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Okay.
Like I said, please.
Sir, you're taking up my time, please. All right? I got one more item. Okay? Allow me to do so. Why is the city going around cleaning up the streets that basically don't have nothing but a a couple leaves. And why don't they pick up the real, real big piles? I didn't notice that my time was up. I'm sorry.
Sure.
My apologies. So that's another part. This lady's right. So I want something done with all these things. So I thank you. And good to see all of you once more.
Thanks for coming out, Mr. Rodriguez.
Hasta la vista. I didn't notice my time was up. Why didn't you tell me, man?
Is there anyone else to the left who wanted to make comment? Seeing nobody else to the left, I turn to the wide center. Mr. Shire.
Bill Shire, 1890 Eaton Avenue. Well, it happened again. I was going from downtown to Lowe's, and I took the shortcut, Union Boulevard, to take the on-ramp for 378. But don't get on 378, just stay to the right, and you go to the off-ramp, and lo and behold, you're almost there. I always have to watch. Of course, I'm not going as fast as the people on 378 yet, and there's no reason to. So I have to watch these people coming, because they do like to sometimes cut in front of me to get onto the off-ramp, because I'm going far too slow for them to get behind me. Well, nobody did it this time, nobody did it, and at the very last second, I swear, boom, right in front of me. If I had speeded up just a little bit at that point, for one reason or another, there would have been one hell of a crash, and maybe we both would have been dead. The driving in this town, and by the way, it seems to be a national thing that I hear on NPR, driving nationwide, starting with the pandemic, has gotten worse and worse. It's certainly happening in Bethlehem. As some of you know, I did some cab driving in D.C., and so I have perhaps a feel for the road that not everyone has. And to me, it's not just a case of me getting older. What I'm seeing is, and I won't recount all the instances where people have done dangerous things to save a few seconds. So, what's the remedy? Disregarding the cause, we can speculate as to what the cause is, but what's the remedy? Well, the only thing I can think of, again, is more police enforcement. Unfortunately, now we're down about 20 officers from their full strength. So all I can want to say is, let's all of us try to think of ways or anything we can do to help the police department do some recruiting. I've suggested to the chief that she do some more poaching on D.C. because they have a lot of, or a significant amount of people leaving the military, and sometimes they get recruited for the local police department, and maybe we can do something there. And I don't know what the answer is, but I think it's something we need to be thinking about, trying to find qualified people to come to Bethlehem to be police officers, because it's a good city to be a police officer, and there's not a lot of crime. The pay is probably not as good as, say, in D.C., but then the housing cost is a lot lower. So that's my little pitch for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone in the center? Mr. Antal?
Before I start, my comment may impinge on an article that's up for vote, but it is, could also be a general comment, so judge accordingly. The comment I'm making now is hypothetical, but in today's historical occurrences, it could be very possible. Hypothetical number one. There was a group gathering at an intersection in Bethlehem concerning some anniversary. And there were a goodly number of people there. And approaching the group was a very unsavory character carrying a high-capacity assault weapon. And before this person could do more damage, a retired police officer from Bethlehem, being trained in this capacity, used his service weapon and took out the assailant, thereby saving many lives. Hypothetical number two. There was a group of people in Bethlehem meeting on some social occasion. And the group was approached by an unsavory character with a high-capacity assault weapon. And he proceeded to kill a number of people. And unfortunately, one of the victims was a retired police officer. What's the differential here? In the first scenario, which is wise, the weapon used by the retired officer was granted by permission to be sold to him by city council. But in the second scenario, the officer died along with others because city council denied him the purchase of the weapon. So what's the thought here? The thought here is simply, city council, as individuals, have their personal opinions and rights. But once elected to city council, their personal welfare takes on the welfare of the community. And as such, their actions should reflect what is in the best interest of the community. And the voting should reflect that. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment on anything not on the agenda? I turn to the right. Seeing none.
We're going to move on to our second courtesy of the floor. This is for any ordinance or resolution that's being voted on tonight. We had one speaker signed up, Jim Falwell.
Thing again, Jim Fullweather, 2222 Main Street, Bethlehem. Discussing issues surrounding the city budget. While the federal budget is out of control with enormous deficit spending, thanks to both parties, where every person in the country now owes over $100,000 as their share of the federal debt, and each voter over $250,000. In October, the portion of the federal budget spent on interest on the debt rose to become the third highest federal expenditure, surpassed only by Health and Human Services and Social Security. In October, it surpassed defense spending and all other departmental budgets and all other programs. I hope our city does not follow their lead in uncontrolled spending heading into the future. For our 2024 budget proposal, the city received one day from the mayor's presentation to your first budget meeting. How does that provide sufficient time for you to start properly analyzing $113 million
annual budget across the numerous budget segments. Regarding the proposed tax increase, if the city's finances are in the best shape in a very long, long time, why do we have a 2.6% tax increase on top of an 8% water fee increase also? With most of the federal COVID money being budgeted or allocated this year, with some carrying over to the following year, there should be no tax increases. Since this level of budgeting and spending is not sustainable beyond 2024, maybe we are now preempting significant future tax increases with a more reasonable increase this year to buffer potential larger increases coming down the pike. As the one-time federal funds are depleted, will we continue to spend supporting all of these expansive programs? Throughout all recent budget discussions this year and last year, there was never any real discussion or an explanation of even attempting to cut expenses, looking at where we can save money. How can you truly analyze budgets by only looking at proposed future spending levels? I hope you conduct the true, deep and thorough budget analysis and debate and look toward our future budget viability. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Falwell. Can we go around again? This is for anything being voted on tonight. Anyone to the left? What's your comment? Anything we're voting on this evening? Again, I turn to the center. Mr. Antalos.
Still Stephen Antalos. On July 19th, 2022, it appeared on the agenda for administrative order for Mr. Gary Lader to his HCC, but it was never brought forward for a vote. Shortly thereafter, there appeared on the City Council agenda for a position on the same HCC with two names, Chambers and Bly. Now, they also presented before Council on the previous, it was suggested, rather it was speculated, that Mr. Lader was not brought forward because of a negative vote on COA, which was looked upon negatively by the administration, which may have caused the lack of vote. On the latter candidates, Chambers and Blind, apparently canvassing of council prior to the vote indicated that they would not be approved for their own reasons. Number one being, one person had a severe conflict of interest, and the second person had spoken in a very negative way about historic preservation versus business. So council didn't get to vote on them. Today, this evening rather, we have two names appearing, Chambers and Lader. One name we know is highly qualified because he had been on the HCC for a number of years, and his non-reappointment became a serious question. So the question becomes,
what has changed between then and now concerning Mr. Chambers? Looking at this analytically, we now have a name of a person of high quality and a person who may not have made it because of conflict of interest. But the point is they're both on the same agenda. Is there some psychological effect here in play? I don't know. What I'm saying is, we expect and almost demand that people of the highest quality be appointed. And counsel is acutely aware of a person of extremely high quality who has come before you and volunteered to serve on HCC. And we don't see that name or hear it. So, there's a question here. If both are selected, are we selecting a person of lower quality than one who could serve if they were on the agenda? Is this serving in the best interest of the community? And if voted in a positive way, the question then becomes, whose interests are being served? It's on your conscience.
Thank you, Mr. Antal. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to speak on anything, Mr. Schein?
Bill Shaw, 1898 Avenue. Well, we have a lot of boards and commissions in the city, and sometimes a shortage of people to serve on them. But we do hope that anyone who does serve and has some expertise in the subject matter, which is a lot to ask, or at least the ability to learn and the ability to think. You're probably aware of the recent case with the Zoning Hearing Board and the Hanover Apartments, where the Zoning Hearing Board approved, I won't go into the technical details there, it's rather involved, but they approved unanimously to eliminate the requirement for commercial in a commercial district. Which upshot from that is that the developers, who are the same ones as for Martin Tower, incidentally, feel that they then have the right to not only have multifamily housing anywhere in the 9-acre tract, but 5 stories to boot. Well, the city, to its credit, is appealing that approval of the Zoning Hearing Board of that particular variance. And incidentally, the developers apparently have managed to come back with an appeal of the rejection of the other variance, which involved the length of the buildings. So the Zoning Hearing Board, I think, really dropped the ball on this one, on the commercial variance. And I'm glad to see that the city trying to put matters right. About the Historic Conservation Commission, I urge that you approve Mr. Leder as to continue as chairman. I think he's done a good job. He's an architect and has worked on some historic projects. And then the other nominee is Mr. Chambers, who's also an architect. In fact, he's the architect, I understand, for the new banana factory, which will involve the demolition of an entire city block, including what, to my amateurish mind, has two contributing, I think what they call a contributing building to the historic atmosphere. Two of the buildings on 3rd Street. So that's not a kind of association you would like to see for someone who's going to be on the Historic Conservation Commission, and their job mission is to pay attention, proper attention to the historic character of the city. So, once again, here we have, like on the Zoning Hearing Board, people who don't have any special expertise, and ascend him to the, possibly to the position. I don't know. I think I'll stop right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shines. Any other comments from anyone on anything that council is voting on this evening? Seeing none, we're going to continue on. Thank you to everyone who made comment this evening. Old business, any old business for members of council? Communications, communication 6A.
November 2nd, 2023 memorandum with an attached exhibit from purchasing director Sandra Steidel, requesting approval to offer 12 vehicles for sale within the next 60 days at an upcoming auction. Ms. Steidel notes that procedures will be followed in accordance with Resolution 2009-95.
If council has no objection to the properties listed, the items may be added to the online auction. If council would like to discuss a specific item, the same shall be removed from the list and discussed at the next council meeting on December 5th, 2023. Would any member of council like to remove any item from the list and discuss it at the next city council meeting? I see no objections. So it will be communicated to the purchasing director that city council has no objections to auctioning the listed property. Communication 6B.
In November 10th, 2023, memorandum with an attached ordinance from Health Director Kristen Wenrick. Ms. Wenrick seeks a budget adjustment in the general fund. $18,200 would be added to City Health revenue account number 001A-30402. And added to City Health accounts 0302-42176 AIDS program and 0302-42180 Safe and Healthy Communities in order to cover insurance payments billed to Health. The general fund budget will be increased from $107,677,698 to $107,695,898.
And ordinance 9A is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A November 15th, 2023 memorandum from Deputy Police Chief Scott Meitzel with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the third class city code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at a fair market value.
And resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
In November 15th, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development, seeking a council resolution of support of an application for a $1 million statewide local share assessment grant. If received, the money would be received to acquire land owned by Norfolk Southern to further the goal of connecting the South Bethlehem Greenway to the Saucon Rail Trail.
And resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A November 14, 2023 memorandum and proposed resolution from Tiffany Wismer, DCED Business Manager, recommending a contract with Atkins, Bolshin, Shade Architects, and Mass Design Group of Philadelphia. Firms would study the feasibility of building a South Bethlehem Community Center. The amount of the contract is $87,855. Work is to be completed by December 31st, 2024. There are no renewals.
And resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
November 16th, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution and exhibit from Chief Building Inspector Mike Simonson requesting the destruction of records from the Code Enforcement Bureau. Mr. Simonson has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records listed on the exhibit fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
resolution will be placed on our December 5th City Council agenda report. I have no actionable items this evening. I did just want to thank Ms. Santoro, who's not here, Mayor Reynolds. Please share our thanks. I know she had sent a communication out to all council just about our HRC membership, so the Human Relations Commission. I'll remind everyone, some of the appointees come from City Council, some come from the mayor's office. As I've talked about, is when I get reappointed, I've been on the HRC a number of years, and we continue to kind of cycle people on and off as professional commitments have changed. So we are in the process of trying to bolster our numbers to the HRC. Ms. Santoro has been very instrumental in reaching out to a lot of different community groups, and I've tried to support her in those efforts, but I did just want to acknowledge that it is an ongoing issue. So again, I ask if anyone knows of anyone interested or wanted to talk about the status of our HRC, I'm happy to entertain those conversations, and we're always looking for people to volunteer, just like we are for any of our different boards and authorities. So again, my thanks goes to Ms. Santoro for all the work she's been doing trying to get us volunteers that are interested. That was it that I had this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you. And just to add to that, Ms. Santoro and I have talked, and you know, as Mr. Colon said, is there are members that are needed, and I think that the commission is having conversations about what the future of the commission will be if there continues to be a lack of membership. I think that back when it was created, I guess probably about 12 years ago, kind of conversation about the mission, about what would be the work of the HRC, being more listening versus being proactive, going out, speaking with businesses, and so on and so forth. Obviously, there's a lot more awareness now than there was 12 years ago to some of these issues, but it is, you know, when I had talked to Ms. Santoro about it, we thought we needed to be as open as possible because the members of the HRC are not exactly sure what either the commission should be going forward or if people want to be a part of it. and whatever the next conversation is, if there's not members, I don't know what it is. It's going to come down to the members of the HRC and those that are involved in it. But there are barely enough members to function. And what the mission would be of the HRC is very much up in the air. And I think it's an opportunity. But at the same time, I thought it would start with first a kind of conversation that we need more people who want to be involved. So if you know anybody, please reach out, and so we can get them appointed. A couple other things. Just I want to thank. I know a couple of council members participated last week in our Climate Action Plan annual meeting and the release of our Bethlehem Climate Challenge, which is really exciting stuff. You can read or see more about that on We Build Bethlehem. And then also, obviously, I want to wish a happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We have our tree light on Friday at 5 p.m. Hopefully it's going to stay dry for this. And then just to follow up, my last comment would be, I believe, according to Chief Cott, we have five police officers graduating on December 15th, I believe it is. So we'll be adding five more there, and our goal is to send five more to the academy in January. I forget exactly what the number is, but we have added a significant amount, and you know, in 2024, we're probably looking to add another 10 to 12 as far as vacancies are concerned. We are in a better position than most other cities about this. I know there are other cities that are about our size that are down 25, 30, 35 officers. So obviously we have been doing a lot with recruitment, but at the same time that is the news that we have on that front. And then I have two administrative orders. The first one is administrative order number 2023-26. I hereby appoint Todd Chambers, 555 Gary's Bridge Road, Bethlehem, PA, 18017, the Historic Conservation Commission, South Bethlehem and Mount Airy. This appointment is to fill the expired term of Anthony Silvoy, and this appointment is effective through April 2026.
Administrative order for Todd Chambers, appointment to the Historical Conservation Commission. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
I had some general questions about the ordinance before I vote on either one of these. For our solicitor. I was looking at the HCC Article 1714, and it says, it shall be the duty of each commission member to publicly announce any conflict of interest in connection, yada, yada, yada. And I remember you saying there's a very distinct legal difference between shall and should. Mm-hmm. So does this is this shall, like, you have to, or is this shall, like, you can if you want to?
As a general rule of thumb, when the word says, when it says shall, that is a direct command of something that is supposed to happen.
Okay, so if there is, and from having seen other HCC things, there is a built-in mechanism to make somebody recuse themselves from...
In certain circumstances, it would be mandatory recusal.
Okay.
And their participation could actually nullify an entire action taken if they were to ignore that entire section.
Okay. And I was also looking at, actually this might be a question for the administration, because I was looking at the makeup of it, of the 9 board commission, and I was also listening to the HCC meeting, and it was about who's on the board, what role they play, and it's my understanding that Gary would be the architect, so Todd would be the business interest on the south side. And how do we define a business interest? Does it have to be a physical storefront? Does it have to be, what does a business interest look like?
From my perspective, when you're looking at Article 17.14, to the best of my knowledge, there is no specific definition for business interest. There is no mandate that it be a storefront. There is no mandate that it be a certain type of business or what have you, with the exception, of course, of the members that are required to be architects or otherwise or certain living areas. So ultimately, the business interest would be, as it stands right now, some sort of business interest, whether it be owning a storefront or a restaurant or being a landlord or anything in between. But ultimately, that's also something that would be considered when you're breaking down just the branches of government, when you're talking about the appointment from the executive branch and then the subsequent approval or disapproval by the legislative, which would be us, or the members of this council. So that would be realistically the checks and balance on that. But to my knowledge, just as I was reviewing 1714 as we sit here, I did not find any specific definition for business interest.
Yeah, there's no other like grander ordinance in Bethlehem that says Bethlehem considers a business interest this one thing.
As we were sitting here, I was researching that, nothing that I could find. I would assume to a point that you would not want to paint yourself into a corner when dealing with something like that, because business interest is business interest. It could be, like I said, it could be something. It could be a restaurateur. It could be a landlord owner. It could be anything in between. So again, that would be more the discretion at this point of, again, the executive branch and the mayor and the subsequent approval or disapproval from city council.
Okay, I think you might have just answered my next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I am very protective and possessive of the South Side by nature. Would it be beneficial to relook at the ordinance, or could we paint ourselves in a corner by saying this specifically is what a business interest is, this specifically is, you know, like, is how well is this written, is I guess my question, and is there a conversation at a later date about how we define a business interest on the South Side?
How well or not well written 1714 and every other ordinance that's in existence right now is not really for me to opine out in the open. As far as I'm concerned, those are ordinances that it's our duty to enforce them and interpret them, or the council members to vote and interpret them. As far as if we wanted to create a stricter definition for business interest or not, that would again be an ongoing discussion that we would have to have. I don't feel comfortable giving a definite answer here, just given the very open-ended nature of that. My initial reaction would be that, again, that's to a point, that's when the mayor is elected and when city council members are elected. Those are the types of things that the people of the city of Bethlehem are putting into the hands of their elected members.
Yeah, okay. I was just thinking about this the other day, because I was like, what is a business interest on the South Side? And I started thinking about some of our absentee landlords, and not that I think that any administration in Bethlehem would do something as insane as appointing somebody who so obviously doesn't care about the South Side to one of those positions. It just was one of those, like, is there an unintended consequence to appointing someone who doesn't have a physical business, more of a, like, you know, oh, I have an investment property or something like that, given that some of these appointments have been things to have storefronts. So it was just something I was thinking about in the grander scheme of what does a business interest look like, and because there is another vacancy for a business interest, if I'm reading this right, it just got me to thinking about it. But having talked with multiple people on the HCC, I know that there's a need for a lot of people, or for more people to be appointed to the board, especially like flashing lights popping up in the HCC. So those were just some questions that I had regarding these appointments. Thank you.
Thank you. you, Councilwoman. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Councilwoman Francis-Smith.
Yeah, I'd just like to follow up. Thank you for those questions, Councilwoman Leal. Since both the proposed appointees are architects, which makes sense that, you know, their talents can certainly be used wisely on these boards, on the commission, but then the flip side is they may be representing businesses that may be on the agenda of the ACC, and we talked about conflict of interest. Who ultimately is responsible for assuring that the conflict of interest does not occur, that any member would recluse himself? Is it the president of the ACC?
Effectively, it is a self-policing requirement, but again, there's the ultimate threat that if something was to not be followed through, an argument could be made that any action taken against the intention or the strict language of the ordinance could nullify a previous vote. Now, it's a curable issue because something could always be sent back and then someone could subsequently recuse themselves. But again, it's largely like our ethics ordinance that was put into place, I believe, last year, where, that is a self-policing city council ordinance in place. The seven members of city council know what their business interests are, and they also know who has and who hasn't provided to them in any political campaigns. So again, that would be a largely self-policing issue. But again, it would be something that would be appropriate for the president of the ACC to be aware of. But again, it would be the threat of any action taken nullifying or having to be redone.
Any other questions? Ms. Quintek.
I just wanted to say that tonight we've heard these two particular nominees, appointees, sort of treated separately or discussed separately, one having aspersions cast on his qualifications, on his training, his, you know, whether or not he's a good person. But when you look at them side by side, they are both architects, neither of whom lives in either of the areas, not in the Mount Airy Historic District, although Mr. Leader lives close to it, nor the South Side. So they don't have that kind of connection. Obviously, Mr. Leader currently serves in the role of the required architect on the board. We are still missing a real estate broker, a second Mount Airy resident, and a second person with business interests in the South Bethlehem area. And those are, again, in the ordinance, there are very specific requirements to Southside residents, to Mount Airy Historic District residents, an architect, building inspector, real estate broker, and two people with business interests in South Bethlehem. So those are the folks that we're looking for. And I think that Mr. Chambers has a history of service to nonprofits, both in Bethlehem and specifically on the South Side, including WDIY, including Historic Bethlehem Partnership, Burnside Plantation. And I also want to point out that when we talk about the conflict of interest piece, Mr. Leder has had to recuse himself multiple times. You can Google it. Newspaper articles. I found it all myself. I spoke to Mr. Leder today. I've actually known Mr. Leder for many years. Our kids were about the same age. We live in the same neighborhood. We met on the playground. Our husband, you know, he's a musician. My husband's a musician. So we actually have a relationship. And so I have, on the other hand, never met Mr. Chambers other than in these kinds of circumstances where he was here for a hearing of some kind or another. I don't have any relationship with him at all. But Mr. Leder has had to recuse himself on multiple occasions because of business conflicts, business coming before the HCC, including one that he told me in his own words today when we spoke, was a really big project that he was really sad just recently to have to recuse himself from. So we have also had other members of the HCC who have recused themselves. I'm sure other members of the HARB. All of our authorities, boards, and commissions are populated by members of our community who are doing it for no compensation, trying to do something good for our community. And for the most part, I believe that they follow the ethical standards of, you know, withdrawing from a conversation or a vote when they have self-interest involved. I have confidence that Mr. Chambers, like Mr. Lader, will do that when he is serving on the HCC. So I am going to support both of these tonight. So thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Before we vote, I'll just say, as it relates to the HCC ordinance that Councilman Leno had questions about, the language is actually really strong, a lot stronger than the language we see in a lot of things, where not only is a conflicted board member prohibited from even being part of the discussion as it relates to deliberation by the HCC can ask through a vote for that board member to step out of the room and be absent from the discussion. So it's really strict in terms of the language of the ordinance. And as we just talked about the HRC a few minutes ago, some of these boards, the HCC, I believe, is 9 members. Councilwoman Kwiatek had mentioned, you'd be surprised sometimes how hard it is to find 9 qualified people to volunteer for something. And Mr. Chambers is someone who I don't know personally, but I've had discussions with others in his field, and he is someone who's spoken about positively as it relates to his abilities as an architect, and I think he brings a lot to the HCC. So I will also be supporting this appointment this evening. Without any further discussion, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colombo?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. I hereby reappoint Gary A. Lader, 1511 West Market Street, Bethlehem, PA 1802, to the Historic Conservation Commission, South Bethlehem and Mount Airy. This appointment is to fill the expired term of Kenneth Lausch. This appointment is effective through May 2026.
Administrative Order, Gary A. Lader, Historic Conservation Commission. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. I just want to thank Mr. Lader. I know he served for a number of years and has served as the chair for the ACC, so his willingness to continue volunteering his time is very much appreciated. We call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to ordinances for final passage. Clerk will read Bill 39, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 General Fund Budget. Bill 39, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. Call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Continuing on to new ordinances. Please read Bill 40, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 General Fund. Bill 40, 2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Passes 7-0. Bill 41, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the General Fund Budget for 2024. Bill 41, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Before we get into discussion, we're going to have a number of these budget ordinances before us in a few minutes. There, as we read through them, I just remind everyone, as is custom, for every ordinance, you always have to have a first reading and a second reading. So this tonight is simply our first reading, which we need two for any law to go into enactment. We do have a few more budget hearings scheduled, which we've discussed and announced, and there's also a scheduled budget hearing between now and the second reading on December 19th, strictly for amendments. So voting on this tonight is simply procedural, and that there will be adequate opportunity not only to review the rest of the budget, but there is a dedicated night, if we need it, if any council members want to propose any amendments for the budget. But as is law, we need to at least get the first vote out of the way
as we continue on with the rest of the reviews and discussions related to the budget. So is there any discussion on 41 of 2023, agenda item 9B? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 42-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, North Hampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Water Fund Budget for 2024. Bill 42-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 43-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Sewer Fund Budget for 2024. Bill 43-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 44.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Golf Course Enterprise Fund Budget for 2024. Bill 44-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 45.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Liquid Fuels Fund Budget for 2024. Bill 45-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon. Correction, 2023.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. We'll read Bill 46 of 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting capital budget for non-utilities for 2024. Bill 46-2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 47-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the capital budget for water utilities for 2024. Bill 47-2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 48.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the capital budget for sewer utilities for 2024. Bill 48-2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 49.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the CDBG budget for 2024. Bill 49-2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 50-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Stormwater Fund Budget for 2024. Bill 50-2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon? Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 7-0. And the last ordinance, please read Bill 51.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the tax rate for all city purposes for 2024. Bill 51-2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? But before we vote, I always, every year, kind of point out that while it's not always fair to compare, it is when it's in your benefit. And we, as we, this is our millage rate. So at the end of the day, our millage rate is what drives people's property tax bill. I won't get into the weeds about assessed value. The county manages the assessed value.
Counties,
yep. And that is why we have the two different millage rates due to the more recent countywide assessment in Lehigh County. However, while we will discuss at one of the future budget hearings, talk about our general fund revenues and kind of where these numbers come from, it is fair to point out, as we look around the Lehigh Valley, our property tax millage rate is still, other cities have a property tax rate greater than 20% higher than ours. So when we talk about what makes people want to buy a house in Bethlehem, open a business in Bethlehem, all those kind of things that we run around championing all the time, this is where it's, where we're voting on it. And that's one of the biggest things that I'll say, you know, I hear about from time to time, not as often as I thought when I got on council, was taxes to a degree, but this is where we show that while yes, there has been the reported and reviewed property tax increase of the 2.6% or something close to that, I'm of the opinion, and we'll be supporting this tonight and talking about it in future budget hearings, that we continue to, as a council, as a city, as administration, so on, do our best in holding the line on those expenses, and we'll talk more about it in upcoming budget hearings. So that's my 2 cents on that. Any other discussion from members of council? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolutions? Please read Resolution 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the city issued handgun to Sergeant Moses Miller, retired city police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
I might as well just. Yes. Thank you. Since this seems to be of interest to some, I want to say that again, I am in no way suggesting that Sergeant Miller isn't, you know, retiring honorably, and I wish him all the best in his retirement. This has nothing to do with his service to this city. But I will say that being lectured in hypotheticals, when I can look at a list of, you know, in 15 minutes I could find a dozen instances of former police officers killing their wives, then turning the gun on themselves, killing their neighbors. You know, it's unfortunately something that happens. Now, does it happen in elsewhere in society? Of course. My point is that being a retired police officer, former police officer, or a current police officer doesn't bestow some magical protection against making bad decisions and using guns. And so this is, again, why I vote against these, and it has nothing to do with my feelings. Somebody apparently believes that I vote on my feelings, and I'm sure that no one else ever takes a stand based on, you know, feelings, but, you know, certainly not members of the other gender. They're always very, very logical. At any rate, I will be voting no again, and I again wish Sergeant Miller well, and just to once again state that there is no, you know, special status in terms of someone, you know, being protected from mental illness or from making bad decisions. And so I'm once again saying that I will vote no to the city selling a firearm to a civilian. So, thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Councilwoman Lavelle?
I think one of the things that I like most about serving on this council is that we often get accused of not having diversity because we are the majority of women, but we do have diversity of opinion, in which I don't think Councilwoman Quilty can ever be on the right side of this, but I consistently respect your stance, and it will never change mine, and I will never change yours because we view this differently. But that's the point of having elected people who have different life experiences so we can view this differently. And I don't think that we should hang up our convictions when we get elected because our convictions are why we're elected. So while I don't agree, I don't know if I'm going to end that sentence, but I hope you understand what I mean.
Thank you. Any other discussion from members of council? Ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leal?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Crampson-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Nay.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Resolution passes 6-1. Resolution 10-B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and City Controller are authorized to execute all documents and agreements for the City of Bethlehem to hereby request a $1 million statewide local share assessment grant to help acquire land to connect the South Bethlehem Greenway and the Saucon Rail Trail. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion.
I just have a quick question for the administration. I was reading in this really handy thing that Mr. Alcott puts together for us that we have obtained more than half of the funding for this, but the price is $7 million for the land. So how far off, how many more millions do we need to buy this land?
to be determined. I think that was an estimate, but it depends kind of exactly where it goes and also potential negotiations. So I think as far as an estimate, that would be an estimate, but we don't know because there are moving parts. But we don't currently have enough, obviously, which is why we're applying for it, but that will become negotiations with abutting property owners, where does it exactly go and things like that. And back and forth.
Okay. Well, I wish it well. Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Crampson-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, hereby authorized to execute an agreement and related documents as deemed necessary by the Solicitor Atkins, Walshen, Schrade, Architects, and Mass Design Group to perform feasibility study to build the South Bethlehem Community Center. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Liam.
Discussion?
I just want to say that I was part of some of the meetings regarding this, and I did want to give some insight to some of the members of council. A lot of these meetings were done with community action in the room, Boys and Girls Club in the room. It was a weeding down process to make sure that the right person was picked. It was quite a lengthy list that would have had council here longer than the budget meetings. Some of the things that happened within those meetings were trying to find ways in which we weren't overstepping other people. So what was the nonprofit sector doing? What is the city doing? And the biggest hunk of time was spent talking about, is this financially feasible? And while I have a lot of respect for DCED, I just feel like there is a need for an outside view of this to make sure that we have an accurate account of all of the recreation that is happening on the south side. And if we can build something to this, but we need to make sure that if it's possible, we do it well, but if it's not possible, we're not making promises that we can't keep. So just a little perspective on this one. This week, there was multiple nonprofits that deal with REC and Southside and community kids in the room for these discussions.
Thank you. Any other discussion from members of council? Councilwoman Crampson-Smith.
I think even when I first got on council, I said that I really advocate and said there's a need for, you know, more resources and recreation opportunities for, especially for those on the south side and throughout the whole city. And I think I'm in a unique position that I work, I have for almost 40 years worked with teens and now still continue to work with teens. And I can see every day the difference that resources can make, especially in my district, for teens. But at the same concurrently, I am definitely more fiscally conservative, and I am really worried about the amount of money that we're spending on consultants. I think $90,000 is a lot of money. I think that, you know, we're talking about doing a study of what, you know, let's do an inventory of the current recreation programs that we have and what's lacking. And I think there's other ways to do it. So I am 100% for a community center that's going to benefit the youth and all the people of our community. But at the same time, I just really am hesitant. Previously working in county government, I know myself and a lot of people were hesitant because we saw that money that was earmarked for consultants could be used directly for the resources and services that were really going to help the people. I see the $90,000 here that could be used for, you know, the direct down payment on a building or a rehab of a building. And I know that the people of the city, the employees, may be stretched as far as completing tasks, but there's other ways to do it. I mean, there's, we are blessed to have one of the best universities in the country, in Lehigh Moravian, in our backyard, and they have graduate and PhD students. I was one of them at one point in time, and we had to do a whole study in research methods. So why can't we, you know, tap into those resources and have them do a study of what do we have right now, what do we need? And then it's at that point, let's look at, do we need to have like an engineering firm or consultant? So right now at this point, I am not convinced that, you know, $90,000, especially in light of the fact that we're going to be raising taxes, is prudent fiscally. So I won't be supporting this.
Thank you, Councilwoman Cramsey Smith. Any other discussion from members of council? Councilwoman Foyton.
Ms. Collins, maybe you can answer some questions for us. Such as where will the funds be coming from? Are they coming from tax funds? Are they coming from one-time funds?
So the feasibility study would be coming from the community recovery fund line items expense, since the ARPA associated community recovery, you know, initiatives.
And how many? You had a lot, right? You had 12 firms submitted proposals. So that was narrowed down to 6 and 3 finalists. So there was a pretty exhaustive process.
There was a very
Leon certainly
strong
indicates.
Response. Yeah. Yeah, there was a really strong response. And so we had an internal team look through and study and score the 12 that had come in. And then when we brought the community partners in, we had narrowed the list down and did a series of interviews and discussions.
And it looks like there's some subcontracting, I guess, in the, within this to Taggart Associates and Allied Building, the Bethlehem-based organization, so we're not just looking at outsiders coming in and telling, you know, taking the watch off our hand and telling us what time it is.
It was one of the strengths of that proposal, and a number of the proposals have, you know, often they'll combine different firms and then subcontractors to fill the needs that are asked for in the RFP. And in our RFP, you know, we have a couple of different aspects of the project. So there's the needs assessment as a first phase, but there's also phasing for site analysis, there's phasing for the feasibility study and the financial component. And obviously all of that is underpinned by a strong community engagement, and as Ms. Leon talked about, you know, really like working with the organizations that are currently doing a lot of work and as trusted partners, like bringing in people who can really like provide real deep meaningful insight into the engagement process. So to meet all of those needs for the multiple tasks that are involved in a feasibility study, most firms will bring in expertise from different areas. And in this firm, in this response in particular, Taggart and Associates is helping with the on-the-ground engagement and really identifying and helping that aspect of the proposal, and doing so not just you know, putting together an event, but really like being like a trusted voice in the community to bring the right people to the table to like give that credibility, because we know how important it is to do it right for the Southside community. And that was one thing that we heard a lot, I think, in our conversations. We like really wanted to honor that and making our selection.
And I don't know if you can really answer this, but can you speak a little to the concept of hiring a firm like this as opposed to trying to do something like this using graduate students in a class as a project or something like that, and just the different level of both the amount of time it might take, the level of expertise you're getting with a firm like this. I love our graduate students at Lehigh. I find them all amazing. They're doing incredible work. But when you're going about making this kind of decision, what would lead you to do this as opposed to engage in that kind of process?
Well, I think in this particular scenario, like Ms. Leon pointed out, one of the main questions is like, is it financially feasible? And so to put that in the hands of a firm that has real experience is different than giving it to a graduate student as like a, can you help us figure this out, right? I mean, that's like a pivotal question, and to have the kind of expertise that can put together like a true feasibility study like based on that experience and educational background is, I think, extremely important. And then when it comes to like the architectural piece, the design piece, like building a community center, if like that's where we land after this, if it's financially feasible, like it's something that we should be doing in a way that demonstrates like the commitment to the community, and this proposal in particular has like a top-notch talent. Like if you talk to most people who have any experience in architecture and design and planning, like AOS and Mass is like a dynamite team, and like that's, I think, something that like the Southside deserves if we're going to be doing this project, because like a building is a building, but it's more than that. And I think that's something that we talked about a lot in the process, is like, how do you create a space for people that is like honoring the community, and like how do you do that through design, how do you do that through architecture, and like that's a really important thing that matters.
And in fact, it says here that AOS has actually worked with Lehigh University. Thank you. So I get it seems that Lehigh didn't put their feasibility study or their architectural designs in the hands of the graduate students, but rather they engaged a firm like AOS. Okay. I appreciate your answers very much. And I want to say that we've seen a lot of these kinds of things from this administration over the last 2 years. And to me, what this says is there's a lot of work being done, and it's being done very thoughtfully and very intentionally. It's understandable that you're like, all of a sudden, whoa, this is a consultant and this is a consultant. But it seems to me that if you're going to do things to improve the future, looking forward towards the future of our city, this is the kind of groundwork that has to be done, and it does cost money. But it's an investment in our city. It's an investment in the South Side. And if it turns out that the decision is, actually building a community center isn't the right call, then we have put good money into discovering that before we go down the road of acquiring property and just rushing into something and spending what would be millions of dollars. So one way or the other, I think these contracts, especially when there's a potential for a much larger project, it's important to do that groundwork and to do that homework before we make deeper investments and start asking for grants or however we might go down the road of funding something. So thank you again for answering my questions.
Just in a last point in response to that, I think we've seen also in applying for some of the grants and being competitive for grants, like when you do the process right and you invest in the planning, it makes you much more competitive to actually get the funding to carry out a project at the end of the day.
Any other questions or comments from members of council?
Councilwoman Prince. Thank you. I would just like to respond. I think that I need to clarify. I think that anyone with any sense would know that there's a big difference between paying a firm $90,000 and having grad or PhD students do a study. But what I'm saying is that I think it's important to be fiscally frugal and looking at the money that we're spending, and I have concerns about spending money so often on consultants, and my suggestion is looking at ways to use the talents and resources we have within the community first before we go into a $90,000 contract with a consultant. Also, I don't think we can compare Lehigh to the city of Bethlehem as far as resources. That's definitely comparing apples to oranges. We're looking at the funds that we have come from the state and the feds and the taxpayers of our community, whereas Lehigh is blessed with funds from a lot of entities in that there's no comparison with the resources they have financially and the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Mayor Reynolds, I saw your hand up.
Yeah, just a couple things. One is, I would just repeat the point that I've made in the past, is like every single department pays people externally here to do work. Like Alcohol pays engineers when they can't take it on themselves. The water department does the same thing, oftentimes hundreds of thousands of dollars. The legal department does this as far as pay outside lawyers. This is not unique to one individual department. Every single department hires people outside to be able to do work. That is not unique. And you know, one of the things that always surprises me is oftentimes those contracts for some of the things that Mike Alcala or Ed comes forward are like $700,000 that just passes without an understanding of why we're hiring an external firm to be able to do this project and why we're not doing it internally. But the two things I would just say is, one is this whole process has been very intentional. We made this announcement about the community center over a year ago, and the reason why we didn't hire or we didn't start that process was because when we talked to people, and when I talked to people, this was the process that was laid out. That was the best one for us to follow. Not one that me or Laura or Sarah came up with, but one that people in the community said they were looking for. So this conversation with not just Councilman Leon, but with members from the school district, from principals, from teachers, from the Boys and Girls Club, from other youth recreation, it was, what do you want to necessarily see? And as we went through this process, I even was saying something to Ms. Collins today, is, you know, the firm that we went, that we ultimately brought forward, was one that people externally from City Hall had very different feelings. I shouldn't say very different, just different experiences and feelings than we did. And then it was this is the one that we think is the best one for the community to go with. And that would not have been possible if we didn't go through that process and we were intentional about it. And I want to thank all of the people that were involved in that process to be able to get to this point. And then the last thing I would say is that these plans and the idea of doing feasibility studies or looking into it is about building confidence. It's about building confidence then that we go and ask somebody else for something. And that's the formula that we've done in this city to build everything, to build steel stacks, to build the Greenway. If you look at what we did, we've talked about this before, that our homelessness plan led to $1.4 million in federal ARP dollars. Our affordable housing plan led to $500,000 as Choice Neighborhoods. Our Northside 2027 plan led to over $1 million coming in for the grants to build Friendship Park. None of which would happen, and I see this every day with colleagues, where they don't do the work, they don't have the plans, so then when it comes time to be able to apply for these things, they don't do them, they don't get them. And it is about being able to build up that confidence that this makes sense, that we know what they're doing. So we sit down with our state officials, with our private sector officials, and this is what the private sector does all the time, and we're doing the same thing, and Bethlehem's had a lot of success with it. But this is not, I think it's important for us to understand that this feasibility study that's coming forward is the process that was also laid out by the community partners about what they thought was the best way. Not just to go acquire a piece of property or for us to build and say we own that property, we can build something there, but we needed to go through a rather intense process to get to this point. And what's going to be announced then in a couple weeks is going to be what the community engagement is going to look like, what the public process is going to look like as far as community meetings are concerned, like in the South Bethlehem community. And this firm has a lot of success with actually building these things and finding a way to make them sustainable. And if this was to be built, it was probably it's probably going to cost millions and millions of dollars. And we need to be able to start with a plan about how to be able to get there. You know, we're very confident going forward. And but the big thing I just want to say is I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to Councilman Leon. Thank you to all of the different partners that have helped us to get to this point. Thank you, President Leon.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Mr. Antalix, are you okay, sir? I noticed you had your hand.
Yes. Should the mayor be speaking on a council resolution?
I gave the mayor the floor, Mr. Antalix.
That's my question.
A couple of my comments before we call the vote. So I will recognize that, and Ms. Collins had said, as it relates to the funding for this, these are American Rescue Plan dollars. This is tying it back to the budget and the importance of the budget. When we vote on the budget, there's a line item for the Community Recovery Fund. So these are one of the things that we had budgeted for when we voted on the budget last year, putting a couple million dollars of American Rescue Plan dollars forward exactly for initiatives like this. We'll talk more at the upcoming budget hearings, like I alluded to, about recurring revenues versus these one-time revenues, recurring expenditures versus one-time expenditures. We've had similar conversations for multiple meetings now over the over the last year, and especially with these federal dollars coming down. But one thing I will recognize is that I recognize that this type of project was discussed by other members of council long before this, and also we weren't really in the same kind of we didn't have the financial resources a couple years ago that we have now, specifically like we just acknowledged with the American Rescue Plan dollars that have come down the pike in our way and given us this opportunity to invest that. So I will be supporting this, and I did just want to note that this study is being paid for with those resources that came down with the American Rescue Plan, not with our necessarily general fund dollars that are coming in through property taxes and things like that. And we've done other feasibility studies over the years, I think of the pedestrian bridge and others, that really give us a picture of before we, because a lot of things in spirit are great ideas. In my time on council, I've heard a lot of things that I've been supportive of until we kind of get into the nuts and bolts about what certain things look like, and then it's really just to determine is it feasible, the whole point of it. So I will be supporting this, and I think that is a good jumping off point to see where the conversation goes moving forward. And I will conclude my remarks with thanking Councilwoman Leon also for dedicating even more time than she does already, and everyone else that was involved in this process. Is there any other comment or question from members of council before we call the roll? I'll ask Mr. Miller to call the roll.
Ms. Leo?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Nay.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-1. Resolution 10D.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolutions, is hereby granted for 17 East Church Street to install a new wood fence and replace wood siding. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolutions, is hereby granted for 38 West Market Street. Remove and replace existing slate roofing with GAF slate line shingles, restore the existing chimney, replace in-kind one gutter and downspout. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Any new business from members of council?
I just want to quickly thank Mr. Evans and Ms. Lazarchek for a very helpful meeting yesterday. We spent some time going over the budget and understanding some of the ways in which we are able to make things work, and understanding the context for the need for for a slight increase in our property tax was very helpful. So thank you for that.
Any other new business from members of council? I just have one quick ask of Chief Cott, as we talk about new officers being sworn in, if it's going to be here in the rotunda or in a public setting, if council could be invited to attend, please.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Chief. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Get home safe. Drive safe.
Last meeting.